Good morning and welcome back. This is Frank Riccio, and this is Talking About the Law. And my guest today is Carmen Durso, who's an accomplished attorney in the area of sexual abuse and bringing civil as well as criminal claims. Now, Carmen, one of the main things that we do is toward attorneys and as plaintiffs' lawyers is we use the law and the Constitution because, you know, these are all constitutional rights that people have to really affect some good. And we talked somewhat about the whole notion of using a civil suit to make an institution accountable, that really the only way it's really going to work is if there's some type of financial exposure. Now, we're going to put the burden a little bit on society, and when I say society, I'm talking about the public, you know, the general public, that's all of us. You know, we as parents, as educators, as people who work, what should we do as a society to prevent sexual abuse?
Well, let me first say why we should do something. Everybody listening to me today knows someone who has been sexually abused. They may not have told you, but trust me, there's someone around you who's been sexually abused. It's that pervasive. And the second thing is this. I have a friend who has an expression. He says, I do this because pedophiles don't retire. There was a priest whose cases I was involved with. The first case happened when the priest was 25 years old. The last case that I was involved in with him, it happened when he was 86 years old.
Wow.
My math is better than 61 years? Yeah. They don't stop. So we must do something to make them stop. One of the things we can do is change laws, change legislation. And there's a particularly important thing that everybody can do, and that's talk to their legislators about the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations is a legal defense that prevents people from being prosecuted criminally and from bringing civil suits. Now, the criminal statute of limitations in 2006, through the efforts of Mass Citizens for Children and others, was changed and it was made better. The problem with the criminal statute of limitations is that it can't be made retroactive to apply to people who have been abused in the past. The civil statute of limitations, on the other hand, can be made retroactive. And if the civil statute of limitations were changed and made retroactive, then we could bring cases against people who abused someone, where we know they abused someone years ago, and get them in the public record. These people are likely still abusing kids, but the problem is that people who are abused can't always come forward when they're abused for a variety of reasons. Guilt. Many people think they're somehow, as kids, think they're somehow responsible for what happened. The perpetrators tell them that. You made me do it kind of thing. Or no one will believe you, or I'll hurt your parents, or a variety of things that kids hear. So for those people who can come forward, when they finally can come forward, we've got to have the ability to take legal action against those people. So,
And I'm just going to interrupt, sure, because what you just said is so true. A lot of times people say, well, why don't the kids just complain? Why don't they yell and scream? Why don't they do this? Why they don't do that? And I had a case involving a young girl who was 9 years old. And the only complaint or problem actually was no complaint. The DA's office actually contacted the mother, and I represented the mother in another matter, and what the mother saw was absolutely horrific. It was a grandfatherly type guy in a home sexually abusing not only her daughter but 32 others. And because this guy was stupid enough to videotape himself, which most of them don't do, he never would have been prosecuted, which he was. He was convicted. He admitted to all the abuse. And what was really frightening was the little girl, even though we had it on videotape with him abusing her in the bathroom, she denied that she was abused. And, you know, this is the problem. It's very traumatic, especially for children. And the only thing that was different about her behavior was at 9 years old, she started bedwetting again. And as I understand it from psychiatrists, sometimes those are signs that something could be going on. And no one would have ever expected this guy to be abusing children, gay given his age, and B, given the fact that he was quote-unquote good with kids.
Frank, I see people who have abused kids without question who have support groups from their communities to say that they didn't do it. Now, they have no knowledge one way or the other whether they did it, but they can't believe that this person did it, because if they believed that an important figure who does good things in the community was capable of that kind of behavior, they would have to start doubting their own judgment, and they would have to start worrying about the safety of their own kids, because if it could happen to them, it could happen to their kids. So people don't want to believe. And that's the big problem, you know. We know it happens. It's a pervasive problem. The reason we need this legislation is that we should never have a time limit on the ability to obtain justice. And it should never be too late to identify and stop a perpetrator. Because if you go away with nothing else from today, go away with the idea that if someone abuses a kid, he will do it every time that he has the opportunity to do it. These are people who mental health professionals tell us are the most difficult people to treat. They do not understand that they are doing something harmful. They either think they're conferring some sort of benefit on the child, or they think that the standards of life do not apply to them because they are superior, they are better. These are very troubled people. But they are very adept at portraying themselves as something other than what they are. And it's kind of frightening to think that youth-serving organizations have these people, and it's kind of frightening to think that we can't trust these people automatically. So, you know, if you're a parent, pay attention to the what teachers, what coaches are doing. Pay attention to what priests are doing. There are signs, and you have to be educated to the signs. And one of the things that Mass Citizens for Children does is puts on programs to educate people so they can know what to look for.
And what are some of the things that they advise people to do, especially parents?
Well, first of all, pay attention to what someone wants to do with your child. Pay attention to the kinds of physical interactions. There's nothing wrong with a kid being an altar boy, but are you around when the kid is doing things with the priest? It's terrible if you're a Catholic to believe in the sacristy, which is the room off to the side of the altar, is where many kids are getting abused. You know, if you take the kid there, and are they upset after they come back from something that they've done with the adult? Are they going on overnight trips? Are there other adults there? Are kids in situations where they're sleeping in situations where they're not supervised? There are just so many different ways in which these things happen, and you need to be alert. You need to pay attention when a kid says, "I don't like doing this." Kids don't come to you and say, "Mr. Murphy sexually abused me." They say, "I don't want to do that. I don't want to go do that particular activity." And you say, "Why not?" "So, well, I just don't." I mean, that's the way a kid responds to something like that. And case after case, people will tell me that's what happened and nobody listened.
Carmen, I want to thank you. Our time, unfortunately, has come up, and this is a very serious, important topic. I think the lesson learned is we as parents really have to be diligent, and that also that there are legal remedies should something unfortunate happen. Thank you all.
Thank you. Appreciate you inviting me.